Psalm 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye, children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the title gives us some historical detail with regard to the writing of this psalm. This is a psalm of David, so we know the author. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, and who drove him away, and he departed. All right, let's talk a little bit, maybe apologetically at first here. The term Abimelech is not a name. It's a title. You remember the Hebrew word Av, that means father. Avi means my father. And Melech means king. So Avimelech means my father is king. And so it's not only a title, it's a dynastic name. My father was king before me, and I'm king after him. Okay? That's what Abimelech means. And you're going to find several characters throughout the Bible named, titled Abimelech. So this might be a little bit of consternation when you come to the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 22, where this guy that David changed his behavior before is not called Abimelech, he's called Achish. That's his name. His title is Abimelech. Okay? So, hopefully that helps to clear that up. Secondly, while we may wonder about David's actions before Achish or Abimelech, you know, that's when he feigned himself mad, and he, what does it say? The King James puts it quaintly. It says that he scrabbled on the gate. I think what that means is that he was scratching on the gate, feigning madness, and he let his spittle run down his beard and all of that. You know, I mean, he's been a good actor that day. You know. And we may wonder about whether or not that was a proper way for David to behave. There are times where we come across David's behavior and we say, yeah, I don't know about that. Okay? All right. However, there is no gainsaying this, that when he was sent away by Achish / Abimelech, that David then had good cause to praise the Lord, and that's what this psalm is about. And so it is something of a separate issue, whether or not David was upright in his feigning madness, and whether or not he was having then been released from Achish. You know, I've got enough madmen around here, send that one away. And so David was released, and because he was released, he praised the Lord for it. The Lord does, from time to time, make use even of our evil deeds for his good and for our good. And so we ought to remember that. And so the praise that David gives, the praise that rises from that circumstance, is true praise. Okay? It's important to keep those issues separate. Now, this psalm is also an alphabetical psalm. But it's not quite. This is one of those anomalies. When we talk about alphabetical psalms, we all think of Psalm 119, obviously, right? Psalm 119 divided up into 22 sections, 8 verses each, 176 verses. And the first 8 verses all begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. The second 8 verses all begin with Bet. The third, Gimel. The fourth, Dalet. And so on, all the way through the end of the 22-character alphabet of the Hebrews. Well, this one is missing one of the letters in verse 6. And then there are the addition of some verses after verse 23 that are not alphabetical at all. So we don't know what to make of that exactly. However, let me say that whenever we come across anomalies like that in the Scripture, that God, His Word, and His preservation of His Word always ought to get the benefit of the doubt from the believing Christian. Right? That's our first salvo. Our first salvo is not this, okay? This is unbelieving scholarship, and this is what it sounds like. Okay, look at that. There's an interruption to the flow of the alphabet. There must be a verse missing. No, there must not. Because of God's promise to preserve His Word. Okay? There must be a verse missing. Or this is out of order, or there are these other verses tacked on the end, so looks like some later editor messed up the editorializing on it and brought together disparate parts and kind of mishmashed them all together. That's unbelieving scholarship. What does believing scholarship say? Well, we don't know why David did what he did, but this is what he wrote. We're not sure why there's the vav is missing in verse 6. Don't know why. And we're not sure why he didn't exhaust the alphabet with all of the psalm, but then add verses afterwards that weren't alphabetical. We don't know why he did that. Maybe one portion of the psalm was used for something else. Maybe vav had a particular connotation on the day that David was writing, and so he wanted to leave it out. I have no idea. I can't tell you why. And I don't think anyone can, really. What we can say is, these are different, not what we would expect, and yet still God's Word. Okay? All right, so verse 1 then. David, you can tell it's an alphabetical psalm in that the verses are arranged in a kind of, I can't think of a word that's right here, in a kind of extra contextual arrangement. They're rapid fire, single lines. It's almost like the Proverbs, but not quite as far out there as the Proverbs go, and certainly without any repetition or, synthetic, antithetical, and all of those other arrangements that we find in the Proverbs. But David has just a number of, like, one lines, these sentences, and these sentences all have to do with reasons he should be praising the Lord. One sentence after another. It's a very dynamic psalm in that way. Listen to what he says. My soul, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. They looked, their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, he heard him. The angel of the Lord encompasses around them that fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, and so on. They're not particularly contextually related. They are simple praises that David gives. Now, maybe this is because of the nature of the psalm and there were so many things that flooded into David's mind when he was sent out safely from Achish and his men. I don't know. But these are wonderful one-line, almost contextually standing alone, each of them, such that they might be picked up by any of us at any time. This is almost a catalog of reasons to praise the Lord. So, that's the first section then, and I have that as verses 1 through 10. Let's look at a couple of those. The Lord is a deliverer to all those that call upon Him in truth. Notice the challenge that David issues. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And notice, not taste and see if the Lord is good, but taste and see that the Lord is good. This is an important difference that comes out from the Hebrew. Fear Him, that is, reverence Him, obey Him. Focus your obedience upon Him. And then note the comparison also to the young lions. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good things. All right, so now in verse 11, we have perhaps a little bit more usefulness. In first of all, David says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Well, that is, unless you believe children are innocent, they don't need to be taught the fear of the Lord, right? Come, children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We must begin early with our children, teaching them the things of God, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, what a nice application we had today for the vows that we have heard. So then notice also David says that we are to guard our lips, to depart from evil, and to seek peace. Guard your lips, right? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? I'm one of those. Are you one of those? Yeah, I hope so. So here's David's advice then, if that is your aim. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and ensue it. And that's because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Notice that long life and good day, well, that will not be to the wicked. They will be cut off from the face of the earth. Now, that doesn't always happen. Even in the Psalter we read where that doesn't always happen. This is Asaph's lament, isn't it? Yet, we also understand that that is the true deserts of those who turn away from the Lord. And should that happen to them, there ought to be no complaint at all, because the Lord has been clear in what it means to love life, see good days, that is to depart from evil, to keep your tongue, and to keep your eyes. Okay? All right, so we move on from that then. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Again, something of a standalone statement, and yet what a great promise that is. Notice also that the next promise, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What is contrite? Contrite means sorrowful, grieving over sin, sorry for sin. This is a believing attitude towards sin, that we are sorrowful that we have sinned against the Lord. Notice, however, that that sorrow doesn't rule. It doesn't govern. That we understand also the mercy of the Lord. And thus we are encouraged. So let's make sure that we pick up both of those ideas out of this psalm, because they're both taught. Not to focus on one nor the other, to err to the left nor to the right. All right, so then finally we learn to focus at the end of the psalm toward our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Because the end of the psalm is decidedly messianic. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. We want to be reminded of Christ there. And so it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that these promises obtain on behalf of the people that are in Christ. All right, so finally, notice 21 and 22, this antithetical pair here. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Well, so the psalm is very straightforward. There's not a lot of interpretive work that needs to be done in it, except to understand that this was given in a day when David was delivered, and there were so many things that accrued to David in that deliverance that he simply lists them out. Well, what a great example that is for us when we go to praise the Lord for the deliverances and the blessings that we have received, that we should catalog them in the same way David has in Psalm 34. Let's stand.